Hi, and welcome back to another episode of SNC Radio's podcast. We are really lucky to have Coach Tilly here with us to talk about basketball season. Coach Tilly, thank you so much for coming in, taking your time to have this conversation with us. Tony, thank you for texting me out of the blue. Hey, I got one of the coaches to just do an interview with me. I was like, wow,
sure.
That's great. Love hearing that. Like Tony was alluding to, 42 years of coaching, a longer tenure compared to some others. Throughout 42 years, obviously the game's changed. Through the recruiting trail and on the court, what are the biggest changes you've seen?
Oh boy. I think the game itself, the game itself is, you know, the game, but probably 10 years into my coaching, maybe 8, we still had the bigger ball. We didn't have a 3-point arc. And just even those things changed a little bit the way we play and played the game. I think that recruiting is more difficult to get the really good players. Especially at this level, because Division I, Division II is usually at all the AAU games that we're at, and a lot of times they scoop a lot of the really good players. But there's a lot of student-athletes that are, you know, their potential is out there. And finding those kinds of diamonds in the rough are what we're kind of about. But, you know, the game itself has changed. The height of the basket's the same and those kinds of things. You still got to put the ball into the hoop. But, you know, the things around it, the rules, all those kinds of things, I think, evolved just from the fact that all the kids are better athletes now and, you know, the game is a lot faster. So I think that all changed a little bit. And I think right now they're even trying to change a little bit more. So we went to quarters. Mm-hmm. 3 years ago, and I hate it, but you have to live with it and those kinds of things. So a lot of the rule changes that they have were basically for Division I programs, and right. Obviously that trickles down because we have to have the same rules to Division III level. So I don't know if they really, you know, I don't know if there should be different rules. I don't think there should. But even the men's game and the women's game is a lot different in terms of rules and those kinds of things. So I hope they don't change it too much where it's going to change, you know, the game itself. I think that's what I fell in love with when I first coached. And right now it's just, you know, it's just a really, my passion is basketball. I mean, I love the game itself.
Right. What changed when you... when they changed to the quarters rather than halves? What did you change in how you coached your team and how you set out your lineups?
Well, you know, doing the timeouts were no problem, those kinds of things, but I think our rotations changed a lot in how to, you know, give people minutes and, you know, those kinds of things. And the flow of the game, I think, sometimes hurts us. It depends if we're in a good flow and then, you know, it's the quarter, then it's like starting over again. I think I've kind of narrowed it down a little bit where I just have them focus at one quarter at a time rather than one half at a time, so we kind of break it down that way. But I think the hardest thing is the substitutions and rotations and stuff.
Right.
You alluded in recruiting to the diamonds in the rough, and I can imagine, especially with social media and stuff, it's harder to find diamonds in the rough with athletes being able to promote themselves with social media and everything. Do you feel you recruit more on potential over talent that's there when you watch them play in high school, or are you recruiting on what you see?
A lot of it is what I see, and I go to a lot of high school games. I do a lot of AAU tournaments, and I see in AAU tournaments all the talent mm-hmm. is there. But do I have a realistic chance of getting them?
Right.
In St. Norbert's situation also, I have to look for those that are really good students. So putting those together, I might have a really good athlete, but is not a very good student. Or I might have a really good student that's not a very good athlete. So I look more at the potential you know, because I know that a lot of times the really good kids that stand out, I probably won't get, you know. However, I think with the new science building and the new science programs that we have here, that I'm finding that I can get some really good kids that, you know, want to play Division III, and, you know, love, you know, the school and the St. Norbert community as a whole.
So touching on your 42 years a little bit more, what lessons have coaching 42 years over the span of 42 years, four decades, what have you learned? Like, what lessons individually have you learned that you take with you every day?
One of the big learning curves for me was very early in my career, we took a team to the Final Four.
Yep.
And I think I got really cocky then because I thought, well, this is going to happen all the time, you know, and it's not going to, and it's really hard to get to that point with, you know, 64 teams now in the tournament and, you know, everybody's pretty good. But I think the thing that I remember, I used to be really feisty. I used to get a lot of technicals. I used to, you know, kind of be a raving maniac sometimes. I think the one thing that I matured a little bit as a coach by just being more patient.
Sure.
You know, I became more of a fundamental coach. When I first started, I had such great athletes and good basketball players that I did not really have to, you know, develop them. They were already pretty good. Since then, it's been more of a teacher than necessarily just what I do on, you know, game days and those kinds of things. So I think teaching the game, I have gotten so much better.
Right.
And I think what I do every year is really evaluate what I have coming back and what I have coming in and the personnel that I have, and I'm really willing to make changes, you know, so it's not the same old stuff year after year after year,
right,
which can get a little bit tired and, you know, those kinds of things. So I think patience is probably the biggest thing that I developed over the years, and really looked at more of, you know, being a teacher of the game rather than just a coach during the, during the games.
Do you, you know, with college basketball season's here and it's starting the beginning of the season, I looked this morning, UConn won, they're 6-0, you know, 2 in the country again. Is there a run of just unprecedented dominance? Do you think it's good for the sport, or do you think it has more negative effects for the sport?
I think any time a powerhouse team can sustain that kind of record and that kind of excellence, I think is always a good thing. Because what you have are those teams like the Notre Dames and the Stanfords and those teams trying to reach that level. And, you know, I think it's better for the game.
You feel it sets a standard for
it
the
does.
Other teams? Okay, yeah.
So, obviously you touched on a few other teams around the country. So obviously you follow a few college sports and college teams. Is there a particular basketball coach or even maybe a player that you try to emulate in the way you coach basketball?
Muffet McGraw is my favorite, and I've had a chance to sit down with her and talk about things. And I really learned a lot from the times, and I've got a basketball signed by her, and I mean, it's just, you know, she's kind of one of my favorite people. And she is so personable, and she relates a lot, you know, I mean, even if it's it's a way different level,
right,
you know, and those kinds of things, but she relates to me and the level that I'm coaching at.
Right.
So having that hour with her, I learned a lot. I learned about, you know, winning and losing a little bit better because I am a terrible loser. But now I'm more, you know, if a team is better and you lose, you know, I'm not upset about that as long as we played the best that we could, you know. And to be really humble, you know, with the championships and, you know, the wins that you do get, and just be grateful every day that you have an opportunity to work with young women, you know, and shape their lives for the future. So it's more than just the game. It's, you know, I want to be a mentor to these students, and I want them to, you know, have a full life and you know, all those kinds of things. And if I can help in one little itsy bitsy way, whether it's their maturity, whether it's their leadership qualities or whatever, I guess that's really in the end what's important.
Right.
Looking ahead to this season that we're just starting now, as a fan of the team, who would you say the fans should look out to have big years, even some breakout years, or just continue their sustained success on the team?
Yeah, we have eight new players. I did get a transfer and, you know, those kinds of things. So, you know, right now, I'm not sure. Right now, the one thing that I do know is that any of them are capable of big games. We're trying to work on rotations. We had kidney stones, we had sprained ankles, we had a lot of stuff, and right now we're pretty healthy. So I think as we proceed, I think that, you know, those, you know, go-to people, or, you know, those people that, you know, have that energy and the sustainability to finish games, and, you know, I think they'll shine. Right now, I'm not sure who that is. Our two seniors are Sarah Radicek and Christine Olenek, and I think that, you know, this is their time, and I'm hoping that it is, but they have a great cast of people around them, and you know, I think as a whole we have really good players. They're not quite meshing together yet, but I think that they will, and I think that they're going to have a really good season.
So, in looking up stats about you and what you've accomplished, you know, over 1,000 wins over a couple sports, you were inducted into the Wisconsin Basketball Association Hall of Fame. What did that moment mean for you, and where did it rank individually as the amount of accomplished you've?
Yeah, that was a highlight for sure.
Right.
There's no question about that. And a lot of times, you know, being inducted into that particular organization is incredible. You know,
yes.
You have Bull Ryans, you have so many, you know, great people. And very few women, actually. And so I think that, you know, the only thing I regret about the whole thing is that, you know, my parents weren't alive to be able to see that, because
sure.
They were my heroes
right.
in life. But it was touching. It was, I don't know, I cried. I mean, it was just a good honor to know that, you know, because I work really hard at what I
right.
do, and to be recognized by a group of people that have been around the sport for 50 years.
Right.
You know,
right.
it was just a really good honor. I think that's only second to them naming the court after
yeah,
me.
Right.
That's the top.
Yeah. That is pretty cool.
You know, you just touched on a little bit the progress that's been made in women's collegiate sports from when you started coaching to where it is now. Can you just talk about the growth we've had there, and where do you think it still needs to go?
Well, I think, you know, and St. Norbert particularly is really making sure that we afford opportunities in multiple sports. I'm proud to say that I did start most of the programs. They had, you know, maybe 8 games, you know, before I came, and, you know, those kinds of things. So I literally started the softball program. I literally started the golf programs. You know, and what the growth of, whether it's women's soccer or women's volleyball or basketball or whatever, is having as a coach and in our department, in our athletic department, is we want excellence. We want to be the best that we can be.
Right.
And I think adding women's swimming again, but also adding men's swimming, I think there's still room for growth, but let's really be excellent in what we have before we, you know, make added changes. I know there's a lot of talk about lacrosse and, you know, these kind of sports and stuff like that, and which is fine. I don't mind growth. But I really think that all the coaches, all the student athletes, we're all in. You know, we want every program to succeed. We want every program to bring out the best of our students and our athletes, male or female. But I think the stage was set a long time ago on what we wanted to do.
Right.
And yeah, there have been times where, you know, team has been down a little bit, but then they get up. I mean, there's always going to be, you know, hills and valleys and, you know, those kinds of things. And we're hated by everybody in our conference. I mean, literally every sport. And that's not a bad thing. That's a good thing, because we win. And I think that kind of St. Norbert pride that we have in what we do as coaches and as players, I think that comes out really well in basically all of our sports. And we really don't have a terrible sport,
no.
You know. And again, there might be some years where we're here or there or whatever, but we're always building on that.
Is there a motivational tactics that you used for athletes when you began coaching here versus now? How has motivating the college athlete changed in your time?
Yeah, I think it's actually harder now than it was a long time ago. I don't know why.
Right.
I think kids are just different. I think that they have a lot of things going on in their life. I think school is harder than it was 20 years ago. I think success is sometimes taken for granted now a little bit. And I think the work ethic and those kinds of things is constantly a challenge for me. Like if you're on the court, don't be thinking about your chemistry test that you have the next day, or, you know, and it's hard for these kids because they really want to succeed in school. So a lot of times, you know, and I just had a big lecture with the kids yesterday because we're just not ready to play. And we've had really poor first quarters, you know, just the three games that we've played. They don't warm up well, they don't, you know, and I didn't really have to motivate the earlier kids.
Right.
I mean, they were fired up. This was their time. And these kids, you know, they don't seem to be as into it, you know, as... So it is sometimes like pulling teeth to motivate this group of kids. And because I have so many young kids, they're even quieter and they don't want to say anything, you know. And, you know, so I said that's got to change. You know, you got to get out of your shell and, you know, and we got to get fired up for these games and we got to start fast and, you know, and your warm-up's got to be, you know, high-fiving and shouting and screaming and everything else. So, you know, and I don't want to say that this is what you have to do. I want it to come from them.
Yeah, sure.
But sometimes it's like pulling teeth.
Right. All right. So we got kind of a fun question, but we're interested to get your take on it. Do you follow the NBA at all?
I just follow the Bucks.
Okay, that's fair. Do you think that they're going to get to the finals? Do you think... What do you think the finals are going to turn out like?
I absolutely think they will get to the finals. Absolutely.
Awesome. I love to hear
it. I watch them every night.
I love to hear
it. I mean, or every night that they play.
Right.
And I practice, I tape it. I mean, I am such a Wisconsin fan. It doesn't matter. You know, Packer fan.
Right.
You know, Brewers fan. This year was great. And that's just how I've always been.
Right.
I love Wisconsin men's basketball. I'm not such a fan of women's.
Okay.
I don't know why.
Okay.
And I love Wisconsin football, you know. So I have a lot of friends that are Cub fans.
Oh, yeah.
So I was able to, you know, have my day this year. So yeah, I don't really generally watch anyone else other than Golden State once in a while. I watch, and I did watch a few Laker games this year just because of LeBron. But no, I am a Bucks junkie.
Awesome.
You know, like Tony touched on, 42 years coaching here, what was it about St. Norbert that when you got here or over time that made you feel this is where you wanted to stay for such an extended period of time?
After the 84-85 Final Four run that we went on, I was offered a job in Pittsburgh at Duquesne University.
Okay.
And that was really tough for me. I kind of wanted, I thought, to be a Division I coach. And when I had three interviews out there. And after the last one, I came back and I had a decision to make. And I walked campus. I thought about, you know, the future. I think one of the most compelling thing was that, you know, I started the programs here. I didn't want to leave it. And I didn't know if I wanted to be a Division I coach.
Right.
You know, I love the fact that these kids are playing the game because they love the game, and not so much because we're giving them a scholarship or we're, you know, doing this or doing that. And honestly, I don't think I could handle the pressure, because in Division I and Division II, it is more like a business.
Right.
You know, in Division III, it's not. I knew of all the ideas that they had for the new buildings and, you know, that's gonna, you know, happen. And I kind of wanted to grow with the college. I wanted to grow as a person and as a coach, and I just had this gut feeling, and a lot of times my gut tells me is usually the right thing, that I needed to stay, and now that's history.
Yeah, there it is. Well, Coach Tilley, thank you so much for coming on. This has been great. And of course, good luck this year.
All right, thanks. Pleasure.
Thanks for coming on.